Welcome, everyone. So now we're up to session three, and we're going to be discussing, via Lizzie Johnson, equipping girls to be spiritually discerning women.
Hello, everyone. I am Pastor Lizzie. It's my first summit, presenting, so I'm excited. I did the worksheet for you guys. If there's a lot of blanks, I'm sorry, I got too excited, so let me know if I'm going too fast and you need time to fill in the blanks. But let's get started, right? Okay, so a little bit about me is that I recently, 2 years ago I got married, but before that I had the privilege of living on my own. I was, I had my first job, I had my first apartment, I was trying to learn what I liked, what I didn't like. And I went through this phase where I wanted to be a plant mom. So I went to, I saw them pictures on Instagram and looked cute. I'm like, I want to be that kind of person. So I went to a plant store, a flower shop, and I got 3 plants of different sizes. I got snake plants. Do anybody know about plants? Okay, a lot of you guys know about plants. Good. Okay, so I got snake plants because I was told that's the easiest to take care of. So I was enjoying my life as a plant mom. I had my little plants there by the window, one in my bedroom, one in the hallway. It was a nice life, but I started to notice that my plants were dying and I didn't know what was going on. I did everything. I would water them. I was told that I had to say 10 nice things to the plants. I would touch them. But everything that I was doing, for some reason, my plants were just dying. And the truth is, I feel like I didn't do all that I could have for my plants, and the plant died because I wasn't inactive with taking care of my plants. I just didn't care about its health and growth, and so I forgot to be persistent in my hard work to taking care of my plants. So that's my little intro, and you'll see why I'm talking about plants. And also the pictures that I have here, my little side note on my little slideshow, are from the girls here at the church and my leaders. So just like giving them a little spotlight. Those are my girlies from youth. Okay. Perfect. So my intro is that caring for plants reminds me that growth takes a lot of work. But growth is also a necessary survival mechanism for all living things. If a flower grows, it's alive. If it stops or never starts, it withers and dies. That's just basic biology, right? And the same goes for Christians. When the gospel saved us and made us alive in Christ, breathing life into our dead hearts. We see that in Colossians 2:13. We become wide awake and hungry spiritual newborns, thirsty sprouts, with eyes freshly open to the world, and immediately we start growing. But we cannot grow without discernment. The two are inseparably bound together. And that is why teenage girls need discernment. It is imperative that we It is imperative that we equip young girls to become spiritual discerning women for such a time as this. In this workshop, we'll dive in deeper on how we can develop and equip the next generation of fearless women. It is evident that the youth today face ambiguity in every turn. Their daily life is noisy and chaotic, filled with too much information but too little wisdom. You today take a look. If I'm going too fast, please let me know. I want to make sure that you are grasping my information. But like I said, you today look for answers about life anywhere and from anyone that they can get a response from. Discernment is simply the ability to define and act upon the difference between knowing right and wrong. Or as Charles Spurgeon once said, discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong, it's knowing the difference between right and almost right. Discernment, in other words, discernment, in other words, is looking out over the landscape of your life, examining everything you encounter and judging between good and bad, between biblical and false doctrine, between edified and harmful entertainment, and between holiness and sin. Discernment, in other words, is looking out over the landscape of your life, examining everything you encounter and judging between good and bad, between biblical and false doctrine, between edifying and harmful entertainment, and between holiness and sin.
Are you going to share these slides?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No worries.
Yeah,
no worries. Okay. In First Thessalonians 5:21, we're told to test everything, hold fast what is good. Growth and discernment are like a self-feeding cycle, a precious circle. Where there's spiritual growth, there will be spiritual discernment. Yet, discernment isn't a sort of hypercriticism that turns you into this watchdog sniffing out others' mistakes, right? Instead, it's a holy call to discern what is pleasing to God and what is not. And we see that in Romans 12:1-2, which says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Discernment frees you to relish what's beautiful and true and to reject what's ugly and false. Discernment equals growth. And before we gain discernment, we must establish a foundation. God is the rock solid foundation of discernment. So what better place to look for it than in his word? Proverbs 2, yeah? Yeah, no worries. Yeah.
We're trying to catch up with your speed.
No worries.
Yes.
Yes, let me know.
I think you're a little fast, so we're trying to fill in the,
here,
right?
If you miss stuff, all the media will be available afterwards. So yeah. If you miss stuff, it's all available afterwards.
Where is it available?
It's on the website, but so she has enough time to get through.
Yeah, but if we have this already, so we can as well fill it up instead of going to the media.
Yeah.
So we can understand it.
Yeah, we'll give you guys a little time. Just let me know when you guys are ready. No worries.
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. Okay, let me see where I was. Okay, so God is the solid rock foundation of discernment. So what better place to look for it in his word? Proverbs 2 says that if we receive and study and love God's true words, he will give discernment. When we set our minds on the things of God, we immerse ourselves in what's right, and in the process, we protect ourselves from deception. Matthew 16:23. We're good?
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. God has written down his truth in scripture, and we have unlimited access to it. By studying it, we're able to use it as an objective standard and measuring stick to evaluate the teaching we encounter. If we want our teen girls to want more discernment, they need to read the Bible.
Amen.
If you want your teens to grow, then teach them to read the Bible. God is the source of truth, so if your teens want to know what is right and best, send them to him. Encourage them to express their desire to obey him through discernment and ask him to mature them in this area. You may be asking, yes, we get it, we understand, we hear this all the time, or I'm older than you, I already know this. But how can we create an atmosphere and create opportunities for girls to develop a foundation and grow their relationship with the Lord? First one is, oh no, my picture is not showing up. I'm so sad. It's okay. It's a nice picture of one of my girls doing verse of the week at youth group, but it's okay. Create an atmosphere where girls can develop a foundation. And you can create an atmosphere where girls can develop a foundation is by joining a team such as children's ministry, girls ministry, or even youth group that ranges all throughout the different ages. Being part of a team in the Next Gen Ministries means you are a tool that helps establish a foundation for the next generation. And some kids do not have some of someone of the Christian faith at home they can look up to, or someone to guide them in their walk. And you might be the person for them in that ministry. And second, create opportunities where girls can develop their relationship with the Lord. The best way is leading a small group. Leading a small group is known as being in the ministry of presence. Leading a small group creates community and relationships. A small group helps girls see that they're not alone. A small group can help a girl learn through a spiritual leader. And leading a small group can help you declare and proclaim when girls doubt the word of God. Another way to create an opportunity is having one-on-one mentorship. Girls need an example of God-fearing women in their lives. Be one of them. Leaders take initiative. They do not wait for an invitation. They lead. You see a girl, maybe you're in some sort of ministry like Next Gen, girls ministry, you serve at youth group, or you know somebody, ask them, like, hey, like, let's get to know each other. I see how you serve. I see how you worship. Let's get to know each other. Establishing rapport, being genuine when you encounter them. That's very important. Sometimes I feel like there's two different categories where people want to be best friends with someone, but they forget to lead. And others want to be a parent, and they forget that they're not their parent, that they're there to be an example. So we need to find that balance of being there for them and leading, but also remembering that it's just a position that we have, that their parent should be the one to guide them and correct them in that. It's something that I'm learning as a pastor, as assisting my husband in youth pastoring. We are the leaders. We are there to support the parent, but there's a line that we don't cross, and it's parenting the child. So it's a line that we always have to remember. And parents who have daughters, remember, I know that they're parents, and I love my mom, but I'm glad that my mom didn't treat me like I'm her bestie, but she corrected me and guided me when I needed it. So always remember that as well. And when they're my age, hopefully, or older, they'll see that and appreciate it as well. Yeah, so take them out for dinner or ice cream, get your nails done. I love doing that, taking out the girls and doing stuff like that. and get to know them genuinely, what they like. Don't make it everything so spiritual at the moment, but just get to know who they are, their personality, their likes or dislikes, you know, a little bit about their life. And through that, the Lord will give you that wisdom and that guidance to speak life into them as well and guide them. Make an effort in reaching out. You open the door to be a voice of reason in their lives. And lastly, if you want to teach young girls to be spiritual, discerning women, then lead by example. I'm going to say a lot, so I'm going to try to go very slow for you guys. But the first one is establish a discipline to study the word. If there's no substance, there's no depth. The young girls you're surrounded with are starving for a word from God. They might not express that. They might not vocalize that. But trust me, they're waiting to hear something from God, a sign from God. Make sure that you have something to give them. The second is establish a discipline to pray. I believe prayer is a catapult that leads us to the frontier of the spiritual life. Of all the spiritual disciplines, like reading your Bible, worshiping, meditating on time with the Lord, I do think that prayer is the most central because it ushers us to commune with the Father. Second is pray for discernment in your own life. Since God is the one who gives discernment, we should ask for it. That's what Solomon did when he became Israel's king. God appeared to him in a dream and said, "Ask what I shall give you," in 1 Kings 3:5, and it was an unqualified invitation. Solomon replied with great humility and asked for the most valuable thing he knew of, which is discernment. By praying for discernment, you can teach your teens to take a page out of Solomon's playbook and humbly and earnestly ask the Lord to give them that discernment. If any of you lacks wisdom, James writes, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. And lastly, is pray for the girls you lead and mentor. This is very, very important. Pray for them individually and your own personal devotion time. I personally love to pray for, I try to pray for the girls that I serve here and also where I work. I do not work at a church, I work at a children's home, and I have about almost 30 girls that I interact with doing group counseling. So I really, really try my best, and they're always rotating, so I get new girls and the girls leave as well. So I really try to focus time to pray for my girls here, but also pray for the girls that I encounter in my everyday life as well. Pray for them individually. If you can, I have a lot of girls that sometimes it's a little bit hard to pray for them individually. Like, Kelsey, I want to pray for you so bad, but it's okay. if you can do that, it's so powerful to do that. It helps you connect to them better. I believe you are able to remember them in that prayer, but not also doing that. It establishes even like that rapport that I'm talking about, because you're genuinely in your own time focusing to speak over them and pray for them. So I think it's very, very important to do that, but not just see them as, okay, this girl, checking her off and that's that, but you're just building that connection with them even more. Pray before you encounter them. Every time you go and you are serving in a ministry or you're taking them out, pray for them before you encounter them. Pray that the Lord uses you and speaks through you and blesses the time that you guys are together, and hope that, you know, that the time that you guys have is something that she will reflect on later. And also pray with them. It's very important. Like I said, you are probably the person for them, that example that they need, and it builds a relationship and of a mentor with them. So pray with them, and that way you can help them and guide them too. I know when I was younger, that prayer for me was a struggle. I hated praying out loud. So having somebody there that would pray with me really encouraged me when I had to do it on my own. So I really do encourage you guys to do that. Prayer is such a beautiful thing, and it's one of my favorite things to do. Just being in communication with the Lord. But I'm saying these things about prayer because I had that in my life. Growing up as a teen, I had somebody that would pray with me, a youth leader that would be praying with me or with other girls. You know, the girls that I would be in a small group or a small group after youth group, and we would discuss about the sermon, stuff like that. I had that leader there, that example for me, also in girls' ministry. Not only that, but when I said to pray for them individually, once I was older and I was involved in my youth group in college, I saw my own youth pastor praying for the kids individually when we would pray for the kids. And that really meant to me a lot, like, oh, okay, I'm not just a student, but you actually know my name and you know what's going on in my life. So that really encouraged me seeing that on the other side. So that's why I am saying that it's important. Like, it might be silly that I'm saying this, but I'm a product of that, and I see it, and I want to live out that example. So, in conclusion, I'm going too fast. I'm looking at the time, and I'm almost done. I'm like, ooh, yes, yes, perfect, I'm glad. Maybe I was trying to avoid it, but it's fine, I'm kidding. So in conclusion, I think I do have a slide for that, yep, okay. As Jesus followers, our entire lives are different because what God says is true and what he says is false. Discernment and growth walk hand in hand. Like houseplants, we grow up and we live or we don't. There's no in between. Discernment changes everything. And as leaders of the next generation, it's our responsibility to equip girls to become that spiritual discerning women. Responsible leadership stands out in front and calls others to higher places. And as a leader, it's your responsibility to make a difference in the next generation of women. So, with that being said, like I said, I'm a product of that. I'm thankful for growing up, being in girls' ministry, being in fine arts, being in youth group. I'm thankful that I had women around me that would guide me and speak life into me. I'm thankful for my mom as well, that she was able to speak that life into me. I was constantly surrounded, and by seeing the women out there living that example encouraged me even more, and I knew what I wanted in my walk with the Lord. If I didn't have that example, I really don't know if I would be standing here. So sometimes when you're serving, or sometimes, I'm not a mother, so I don't know, but sometimes I'm assuming as a mother, you think that you're not doing anything, but the reality is somebody's always watching. So are you living by that example, or are you distracted with other things? So it's very, very important to know that the next generation is very important. We should not forget about them. And we should always remember that somebody is watching us and we are that example. So do we want to be that positive example or that negative example in their lives? So I really hope this encouraged you somehow. I know sometimes we need that little reminder of the things that we already know, but it is important. And again, like I said, I grew up in it, I saw it, and I'm praying that I'm doing that as well with the girls that I minister here at the church and also on my job. So it's very encouraging to write this lesson because it reminds me of what I'm doing in the ministry that the Lord has called me to. And you don't have to be a pastor to do all this, trust me. You're doing that ministry right now with the girls that you have in your lives, whether it's your daughter, your cousin, your niece, your grandchildren, or the girls that you're ministering at church. You're doing that right now, and I encourage you. I'm excited for you. I know some of you, and I'm proud of what you're doing with your own kids and your own girls. So don't be discouraged, but know that you're either, I love saying this phrase, especially at work, because it reminds me on a stressful day, but sometimes we are planting the seed, sometimes we are making ground for others to plant the seed, and you're doing just that. So I hope that encourages you to do today. Before I pray, is there any questions you guys have? Yeah?
No, excellent presentation.
Oh. Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I find what I pray for most often is in relationship to discernment is a leading of the Holy Spirit, that when we are having our discussions and we're reading our syllabus, something pops out that makes it relevant mm-hmm. to them.
Yeah.
You know, in their daily lives. Because, you know, I don't want them to just come to the meeting
yep.
and just sit there and read the Old Testament and the New Testament and say, oh, yeah, yeah. I want the Holy Spirit to be able to you know, reach them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that challenges me. But
yeah.
I know that prayer, like you said,
mm-hmm.
prayer is the key. Because a lot of times, you know, just one word sometimes will open up a whole revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, you know, I find that important.
Yeah, for sure. And it's true. Sometimes we just want to follow, right, like a curriculum and just the basic, you know, Bible knowledge. And that's true. And that's what we need in order for us to know the word of the Lord. But I really do think, and with what you just said, that when you have those interactions and those conversations with girls, you get to know what they're dealing with. Something that I know is that most of you, what you've dealt with when you were a teenage girl is completely different than what the teenage girls are dealing with now. So you're opening that door to know what they're going through and give them that wisdom. So I love that you said that sometimes you just say something like a word and that opens the door. So make sure that you are being genuine with that, right? That you're giving them that space and that time to vocalize that. And making sure also that something that I'm learning as well, I didn't mention this when I when I started my presentation. I'm currently finishing I still have a year left, but my master's in clinical social work so that I can be a clinician. And something that I have to learn when I'm doing my sessions with my kids is my facial expressions. And that's very important. I can't express that enough. It's still a struggle. It's definitely a challenge, but it's very important. Sometimes, you know, we do communicate that way, and it's okay. It's, you know, it's part of us, how we communicate facial expressions and other things. But make sure also when you are on a difficult or sensitive topic, you know, and especially with the next generation, everything is very sensitive right now. Make sure that you're not expressing what you're thinking. Maybe a girl is telling you something that, you know, it's very shocking, and your eyes are like, oh my gosh, make sure, you know, make sure. And I be so sincere, because I know I struggle with that, but make sure that you're not expressing, as silly as it sounds, because your facial expression, whether it's minor or big, can impact them so much that the next time they're not willing to open up. So it's very, very important to always practice that. It's very practical. It's a struggle. I'm still learning, but I know that it's possible. Yeah.
I'm trying to understand this. Jesus followers, our entire lives are different because what God says is true and what he says is false.
Yes. So
I
what?
Don't get it. I don't understand.
So we know what's right from wrong. So that's what I'm basically saying. Like, he's telling us what's right and what is wrong.
Okay.
Yeah.
What is true and what is false.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
How do you engage children that are not active in participation and that are very quiet and reserved?
Mm-hmm. I understand that because for me it's a struggle to put myself out there. I think that once I get to know someone, yes, I'm definitely an extrovert, but when I'm in a new environment, or maybe I know that growing up, with things happening at home, it was a struggle for me to put myself out there because my warning sign for that was to isolate myself. And I do think that with children that are like that, it's very important for us to be persistent, but also set boundaries. You don't want to overwhelm a child because you don't know what's going on. And I'm saying this in a clinical perspective as well, not just going on in their lives, but anything that they may have as well, whether it's a mental health condition or anything like that. It is a very sensitive subject, just because, again, like I said, the youth now are very completely different than how I grew up. And I do think that you being genuine, but also giving that space and that boundary will open up a door for the kid to know that they're in a safe environment and know how they can communicate safely with that person. It's not easy. I know that sometimes we wish that a kid, you know, you just have three encounters and then the next encounter that they'll be open up and they'll be your best friend. It depends on the child and what they're going through. And like I said, sometimes you are planting that seed, sometimes you're breaking through the ground for others to plant seeds. So whether this child is going through a season in their life that their response is to isolate and not open up, maybe it's their personality. When they grow up, they'll have opportunities to grow into themselves and also opportunities for others to be the ones planting that seed. So it's very important to have that mentality, again, that I'm saying that, you know, breaking through the ground or you're the one planting the seeds. So I hope that answers it. Yeah.
What Bible studies do you recommend with girls?
Oof, that's very, very
hard.
That's very, very hard. That's a good question. For me, something that I really do like, and I'm just saying it from experience from being a teenage girl, it's very good to have topics. I believe, you know, and having specific topics, I do because of what girls are going through and just life things. But I noticed that I knew all these topics and I was very involved in church, but I really didn't feel like I could read the Bible by myself. So something that really encouraged me is just having, I am blanking, I don't know the name, but it's a program that helps you read the Bible. So every day has different verses from the New Testament, the Old Testament, and then like a psalm or a proverb. And then I would do the SOAP method, which is scripture, observation, application, and prayer. And that really helped me build that foundation in reading, that when I was confident enough, I was like, okay, like I can have, you know, my own Bible time and read a book and feel confident that I'm understanding the book, you know, the structure of the book, or a topic, you know, in my own, like a own personal devotional book. I do encourage, a girl joining a small group, because a small group usually does have those curriculums or even girls' ministries. And I really benefited from that when I was growing up. So I think that if I was in that position, just because from my own personal experience, my small group would be more of, okay, let's learn how to read the Bible and learn what it is reading the Bible and the history of it and learning the background of that, because that really helped me with my own personal devotional time. Yeah. Have one more minute, so anything else?
Can you say the SOAP again? Scripture, observation.
Application and prayer. Yeah, so application, how can I apply what I learned through this? Oh, something that I really do encourage as well when it comes to reading the Bible is I was told that to pray before I read, even if I don't mean that prayer, but it builds that, like, it builds that foundation in that to learn to read the Bible and to actually genuinely ask the Lord, okay, Lord, what are you trying to speak to me through these verses? And I kid you not, after I did that, even though I was like, Lord, help me, you know, understand what you're saying through this word, like, the Lord immediately spoke, even though I kind of didn't believe it in my heart, but the Lord used that opportunity to speak to me through that word. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. We have one more session, guys, right?
Yeah.